Turn your Bible to John chapter 12. We're going to release our children for children's ministry. Celebrate them as they go. Hallelujah. They ought to get a standing ovation, don't you think? Hallelujah. They are a blessing. Came past Gabe back there, and I pick on Gabe every time he comes in because he's just too cute. And as I snuck up on him, he looked up and he started grinning. And I said, yeah, that's worth every bit of it. We love children because God says they're a gift. And we want to make sure we appreciate all the gifts that He gives us. Amen? John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we're going to begin in verse 20. Look at the person next to you and say, this Word of God is life-changing. And I'm expecting great things right here, today. Amen. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, says, now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and they asked him, saying, sir, we wish to see Jesus. And Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice from heaven came saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. As we look at this passage and we consider what it's saying, I want you to see a couple of things. There were some fellows who came and they wanted to see Jesus. How many of you here this morning would like to see Jesus? Amen? And they were forced by reason of the fact that Jesus has by now become a celebrity. They were kind of forced into following a protocol that made it a lot more difficult for them to get to where Jesus was. You remember in John chapter 3, just a few chapters before this, Nicodemus comes and he's able to get in to see Jesus, but he comes by night and maybe his story has gotten out. Maybe he's been telling people about, man, I got to talk to Jesus and Jesus really set me straight and he gave me a word that was just for me. And maybe these fellows have heard that story. I don't know. We aren't given any backstory on them. We aren't told anything else about it except this. But here's Jesus and his security detail is preventing them from having access. How many of you have ever felt like you came to see Jesus and there was something in the way? There was something keeping you from getting what you were after. You wanted to see Jesus, but you had to press through beyond what you thought was reasonable. I mean, after all, if Jesus is the Savior of the world, shouldn't He be readily accessible? Shouldn't He be the one that people can just get to? And yet sometimes it just doesn't seem that way. Anybody with me? Sometimes the very thing you think you're after isn't the thing you're after at all. Now, keep in mind, they have no appointment. There is no convenient place like Zacchaeus where they can inject themselves into Jesus' agenda. It's just not going to be easy for them to get to Jesus. They come to Philip. Philip goes to Andrew. Andrew must have been the head of security. Together, he and Andrew go to Jesus. And look at what Jesus does here. He doesn't say, oh, invite him in. Bring him here. No, he begins preaching. And he begins preaching about something that seems completely unrelated. Have you ever gone to Jesus and brought to him an issue? And he started talking about something else? Anybody here relate? I came in and I said to Jesus, I have a problem with this woman you put in my life. And he said, let's talk about you. And I said, no. My problem is with my wife. And he said, yeah, let's talk about you. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? He always deals with the root of the problem, not with the symptoms. Amen? And as these men came to Jesus and he begins to preach, it seems like he's ignoring their request. As a matter of fact, we're going to go on and we're going to see that he does something else along with this that makes it certain that he's ignoring their request. But he begins to speak and say, hey, things are about to change. Everything is about to change. I'm the only one of my kind, but I'm about to die. And when I die, I'm going to reproduce. And there's going to be more like me. Hallelujah. That's a good word, isn't it? He then goes on and he says, if you're going to serve me, then you have to follow me. And I make you this promise that if you serve me and you follow me, that where I am, you're going to be. How many of you are glad Jesus is here today? Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that Jesus has an agenda. And that his agenda includes me and the things that concern me in my life. We know that these guys are willing to do whatever it takes to get their private audience with Jesus. They want to get face to face with him. They're willing to jump through the hoops. They're willing to do what it takes. They just need to know what it's going to take. And Jesus, down in verse 36, says, while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become the sons of light. That's really what they're after. They may not realize, but that's what they're after. But then it says, and these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. You ever feel like Jesus is hiding from you? Now there are days when I've gone to prayer and it, you know, the heavens seem like brass. It seems like no matter what I pray, it's just bouncing back. I'm serious, God. I need to latch hold of you. I need to know the answer to this. I need to have clear wisdom and direction on this. And all I hear is static. And I'm thinking, you know, God's bigger than all this. Surely he can overcome whatever it is between us. He can get through to me even if I'm not getting through to him. Where are you? You know what I'm talking about? How many of you know he didn't go anywhere? He hasn't moved at all. As a matter of fact, it seems almost ironic that he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you in those times, because it feels like he's left. It feels like you've been forsaken. But the truth is, you haven't. Amen? And I've noticed that for myself, and I can only talk for me. Okay? You may be able to relate to it, but I can only talk for me. In the times when I feel like God's the furthest from me, it's because I'm the furthest from him. It's not him who's out of alignment, it's me who's out of alignment. It's not him who needs to change, it's me who needs to change. And because of that, I've learned with the experience that I've had in my Christian walk that I'm not going to get anywhere by continuing to do the same thing that I've always done. I'm going to have to stop and do something different. How many of you know that if you just keep driving on the same road, you're going to end up at the same destination? And if the road that you're on isn't leading to where you want to go, you're going to have to do what? Have to make a change. Everybody say change. Can be good. Now say it with conviction. Change can be good. Sometimes change is intimidating. Sometimes change requires us to do things we're not comfortable with. Amen? But I know from dealing with my granddaughter, change can be a very good thing. Because sometimes she needs to be changed. Grandma, how could you be so rude about Lauren in service? Wasn't Lauren I was talking about. He's telling these fellows that if they're going to get what they're looking for, they're going to have to change the way that they live. They're going to have to become children of the light. We talk all the time about evangelism, and in evangelism is just telling the good news. And when we tell the good news, sometimes we get the feeling like people feel like we're going to get preachy, and when we get preachy, then we have to have an altar call, and then we have an altar call, and people are pressed into coming forward. And how many of you know that the change that takes place in your heart happens wherever you are? You can be in your pew, you can be in your bathroom, and Jesus can meet you there. Amen? The question is, are you after him or not? Are you chasing after him? Is he the one who is the focus of your attention? Is he the one that is the beneficiary of your actions? Sometimes when we're out of alignment, the problem is not what we're after. It's where we are. We've put ourselves in a place that He can't answer us. How many of you know that if you have sin in your heart, you can pound heaven forever and get nothing? Amen? Come on. Amen? So you have to agree or disagree, one or the other. If you choose to disagree, that's fine. You're allowed. I'm still right, but... Had a real good friend who was a solid Baptist, and I loved him with all my heart. We were great friends, and we disagreed on a few things. And one day he was so frustrated because every time we'd get into these discussions, he'd feed me the scriptures that supported his position. I'd feed him the scriptures that supported my position. Finally, one day he said, "Just wait. One of these days we're going to die, and you're going to see I was right." And I said, "And I'm not going to care." Amen? This is all about how we live now. Sometimes we need to get back into alignment. How many of you have ever been driving down the road, hit that pothole from hell, and had the whole front end of your car knocked out? And then the next thing you know, you come out the other side, and as you're going, you can feel the shaking going on, and you think, "Man, am I sitting on the washer?" And you have to get it realigned, don't you? You have to get it put back where it belongs. Because as long as it's out of alignment, it's not going to work the way that it's supposed to. It's not going to do what it was designed to do. And here we are in our Christian walk, and we get things knocked out of alignment. Sometimes we get broadsided. Anybody ever been broadsided? I mean, life just throws you a curve, and you're sitting there, and you're looking and thinking, "How did that happen? I thought God loved me and would take care of me." How many of you know the Bible never says that we will not have trials? Amen? As a matter of fact, it says, "In trials, I will be with you." Which must mean there will be trials. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, "Thank God for the promise of trial." I know that didn't have any conviction behind it. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28, it says, "They'll call on me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me diligently, but they will not find me." And when it says that, it's saying that because they're not where they belong. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. There's a roadblock in between us, and they're not willing to make the detour that it takes to get around it. They're not willing to do what it takes to get back on track. But listen to this promise. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13. You know what Jeremiah 29, 11 says, right? "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and future." But it goes on. In verse 12 it says, Then, you will call on me, you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all of your hearts. Is that a good promise? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Now I want you to look at what that says, because what is it that we're seeking? We're seeking Him. See, a lot of people, they come and they bring their wish list to God. They bring their I want list, and they've got all of their... Some people, you know, they've got a page and a half of problems, a page and a half of needs, and a line of praise. The thing that's consuming their vision is what they want. They actually are making their prayer time and their petition all about them. There's no worship involved. They're making it all about them. And have you ever heard somebody stand up and give testimony and you wondered who it was they were praising? They talk about how they did this and they did that and they said this and they said that. And oh, and by the way, God was glorified. Ever hear one of those? And so we have to really sometimes just take a step back. Let me ask, who is it that you're chasing? Who is it that's setting the priorities and the agenda in your life? Who is it that is the most important to you? Because if it's not Jesus, if it's not God the Father, if it's not worship for who He is, you may find that you are very frustrated at times. Let's get real. Sometimes we feel like we're on the outside looking in. Not just that we're on the outside looking in, but the shades are pulled, the drapes are pulled, and it's as if He doesn't even want to talk to us. Anybody ever feel that way? Come on, let's be honest. Okay? Don't worry about it. It's not uncommon. But when it happens, then the question should be, okay, what do I need to do next? Because then we need to come back to the place where we're really addressing what the root issue is. And the root issue is, are we in right alignment with Him? Have we done anything that would hold us out? The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Amen? So if there's sin in my life, number one, I'm out on the outside looking in. But it says those who seek first His kingdom, those who seek first to be in right standing with Him, find Him not only ready, but having already provided the very things that we're asking for. Which one do you want to be in? Do you want to be in the place of right standing and receive what you need? Or do you want to be on the outside looking in? It requires making a choice. This is the confidence that we have in Him. If we seek anything in accordance with His will, He what? He hears us. And we know that if He hears us in everything that we ask, we will have the petitions that we ask of Him. Am I in His will or not? Am I seeking Him? I leaned over to Lauren during praise and worship and I said, God's looking for you. Just as Kathy shared here this morning, He's seeking those who will worship in spirit and in truth. He's looking for true worshipers. Just as Howard encouraged us, He's looking for the people who will do it His way, who will pull on His presence by coming in and being sincere and genuine and honest and truthful in our worship. We want Him. Do we want His blessings? Yes, we want His blessings. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you get Him, His blessings come with Him. Do we want to see miracles? Anybody here want to see miracles? Where will we find His miracles? In His presence. We enter into His presence and the miracles are already there because He's there. We want to see His strength and His power. But all we have to do to find His strength and power is find Him. It's there for us. But we've got to press in and take it. Now in the Old Testament, this was a challenge because in the Old Testament they were not allowed to enter into the presence of God. Only the high priest got to enter into the holiest of holies. Only the high priest got to experience the actual presence of God. But things have changed since then. We are a nation of kings and priests to our God, which means that we have free access into His presence. Here on a Sunday morning, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on around us, each and every one of us can enter into His presence if we'll just choose Him first, above all else. It's easy to be distracted. There's so much in life that would distract us and take us in a different direction. And I don't know about you, but I don't even have to go looking for that stuff. It comes and finds me. Anybody get a bill this week? Anybody get a bill this week that you went, whoa, I wasn't expecting that? Anybody have a family challenge this week? I won't ask for anybody to raise your hands on that one. Because they might be sitting beside you. Right, Clara? You know, things happen. Life happens. Driving down the road, I'm paying attention to my stuff, I'm doing my thing, and the next thing out of nowhere, the engine just seizes up. How did that happen? It isn't always your fault. Sometimes things just happen. That's just the way it is. But in the middle of it all, is He still there? He sure is. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Lo, I am with you always. Thank God. Here we are, we're going through life. I remember the day that my wife walked in and said, we're getting a baby. And I said, we already have two. No, that wasn't Ben. Ben was the next one. And then Rachel was the one after that. She's only their mother. She was there. You'd think she'd remember. I'm getting the look. It's time to move on. You know, I don't know about you, but in our family, we had one planned pregnancy and five children. Sometimes you get momentum going and you just can't stop. And we love all our children. We wouldn't trade any of them. I wouldn't send any of them back today. There once was a time when I probably would have sent any of them back. And I sat down with my son one day and we sat down on the side of the bed and it had been a fairly trying day. And I put my arm around his shoulder and said, son, I want you to understand I never, ever, ever considered murder till you came along. How many can relate? For those of you who have not yet had children, your day's coming. My mom said she walked into the doctor's office with me in her arms, and I was just a little tiny thing. Gorgeous, of course, but... And she said, I just love him so much. And the doctor said, nah, you don't love him. And she was incensed. How could he say such a thing? And she said, no, I love him. And he said, nah, not yet you don't. And she said, what do you mean? She said, until you're ready to throw him out the window, and don't. You don't love him. We think as long as everything's going good, we're blessed. But sometimes it's in the midst of trial that we find out how blessed we really are. Sometimes it's when the trial comes that we find out how good our God really is. And we're not saying that God sends the trial. But in the trial, He proves Himself faithful. In the trial, He shows He is strong. In the trial, He shows He's our provider. In the trial, we see Him have a chance to stand up and make a difference for us. Amen? Thank God that in the midst of trial, He doesn't abandon us. For I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. Thank God He has a plan. Amen? We want to see God, and wanting to see God is something that's common among all believers. Philip stood with Jesus and he said, Jesus, show us the Father. Oh, we've heard you talk about the Father so much. You've really made the Father so attractive to us. Show us the Father. And I love Jesus' response. He goes, how long have we been together? And still you ask me to show you the Father? Do you not believe what I said, that I and the Father are one? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Amen? Do you think that satisfied Philip? Because I don't think so. I think he probably went, ooh, never mind. Let me just back off of this. Later on, I think he understood. We know that Paul understood, and Paul goes on to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You want to see Jesus? Look at me. That's a bold statement. You want to see Jesus? Look at me. But if we really believe what the Word says, then when the Holy Spirit comes in and possesses us, and we follow His lead, everybody who sees us is seeing the same thing they would have seen had Jesus been walking the earth right here with us. Amen? 1 John, John's writing and he says that we are just like... Well, let's go ahead and read that. We'll jump on over there. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You know, 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8 tells us that God is love, right? Beloved, let us love one another. Right? Isn't that what it says? Anybody remember? It says, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who loves not... What? Oh, she's reading Amplified. She's trying to correct my quotations here, but it's okay. God is love. Amen? So down here in verse 17 it says, love has been perfected among us, or in us, in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is. When? Is in the here and now. As He is, so are we. When? In the here and now. Where? In this world. This is not about being like Jesus once we get to heaven. I mean, thank God, you know, for the old chorus, when we all get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you right now, we got a lot of life to live here before we all get to heaven. And we need to be just what this verse says, just like Jesus in this world. Are you up to that? You have to be up to that, because that's what He says. It's what you were created for. You were created to be in the image and likeness of God. You were created to think like God and to act like God. Amen? I think, maybe. Anybody almost confident? You were created to act like God. All right, I get to call down fire. Well, you know, there were some disciples who said that. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, the Father isn't looking to destroy anybody. He's looking to save. He's not looking to condemn. He's looking to encourage. He's not looking to shame someone. He's looking to bring them out of shame. And we need to be doing the same thing. Well, but do you know so-and-so and what a sinner they are? What better person to reach? Because face it, that's where you used to be. Well, I wasn't that bad. Yes, you were. Because as long as you're not born again, you're just as bad as everybody else. Until you have received Jesus, you are without hope. Amen? Kathy was sharing about the young man who took his own life and how hopeless he must have been. So were we. Every one of us was without hope at one point. And then Jesus came. Amen? And when Jesus came, He didn't physically come and speak to us. He sent somebody on His behalf. Sent someone in His name who spoke to us and shared the gospel with us. Sent someone who gave us the message of salvation and gave us the opportunity to come into the kingdom, thank God. Might have been an evangelist. Might have been somebody who was a co-worker. Might have been a family member. Might have been your grandma. I don't know. It doesn't really matter who it was at this point. What matters is you got in. Amen? And when you got in, things began to change. Poke the person next to you and tell them, change is a good thing. Sometimes. Change is going to happen. How many of you know change is going to happen? How many of you have noticed that since the day you were born, things have changed? I wasn't going to mention it, Darren, but... You know, here we are, we're further along the line, and it doesn't matter how far you've gone, there's still more to go, amen? And I'm just about that far from being convinced that change doesn't stop when we leave. That when we get to heaven, things are going to still be changing. The only thing that doesn't change is God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the things around us change. Our understanding changes. Our enlightenment changes. Our appearance changes. And sometimes for the good. I remember when I was in high school, there was a girl I was in high school with. Her name was Soroya. Soroya was Old Order Mennonite. And she wore sleeves down to her hands and, you know, long dresses and socks that came up past her hem. And I think maybe you could see about 12 square inches of flesh whenever you talk to her, because that's the way that she was maintaining her modesty, and that was fine. We went to a class reunion, and somebody said, oh, by the way, did you see Soroya? And I said, no, she's not here. Oh, yeah, she's here. At a class reunion. Oh, yeah, she's here. And I looked and I looked and I looked and I didn't see her anywhere. And I had to look across the room and I saw a profile that I recognized and I went, by golly, she is here. And she came over and we sat down together and she was quite a bit different than she had been when we were in high school. And so I leaned over and I said, Soraya, I have to ask a question. She said, what's that? And I said, what in the world happened? And she started laughing. She said, boys. Change happens. Sometimes it's change for good, sometimes it's not. Sometimes we get free from bondage. Sometimes we actually find out that God wasn't as concerned about some of the things that we were concerned about, and we get set free. Amen? Come on. God wants us to have the best of everything. He wants us to walk in prosperity. He wants us to walk in health, and sometimes we're the ones who are holding the process up. And we need to change. Poke the person next to you and tell him, now he's talking about you. Poke him back and say, yeah, I know. But he's talking about you too. As he is, so are we in this world. How in the world does that happen? I mean, come on. Look at Wayne. I mean, come on. Is that what Jesus looks like? How many of you vote yes? How many of you vote no? How many of you go, I sure hope not? Well, let me tell you how it happens. Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. This is exactly how it happens. In Isaiah chapter 6, we see an account of the prophet Isaiah and an encounter that he has with God. And as he comes in, he's coming into the very presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, says, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Everybody say, what? I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. And there we are. Is that possible? How many of you here have seen the Lord? Is this the exception? We'll come back to it. I'll tell you whether or not you've seen the Lord by this next part. It says, he was sitting on a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood seraphim, each on one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to the other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken, and the voice of him who cried out, the house was filled with smoke. So I said, and this is Isaiah speaking, woe. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in this people of unclean lips. If you've seen the Lord, then the very first thing that comes into perspective is sin. And you see your own life, and you go, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be. And we see people all the time. Righteousness shows up, and they run away. The power of God shows up and they can't wait to get out of the building. Everything right away blows in their face the reality of their sin and they want to get as far from the presence of God as they can. But look what Isaiah does. He falls on his face and he says, woe, I am undone. I am a sinner. I live in the middle of a flock of sinners. Anybody relate? And so God throws him out, right? No? What's it say? It says, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which was taken with the tongs from the altar. And ouch! Because there in verse 7 it says, and he touched my mouth with it. A live coal touched to my lips. Does not sound pleasant. Does not sound fun. How many of you know being cleansed from sin can be painful? Amen? You can be faced with sin and be painfully aware that something's got to change. But look what happens next. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." He confessed his sin, and God was faithful and just to forgive his sin and to cleanse him from all unrighteousness. That's shouting ground. We confess our sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to completely purge it from us, completely take it from us, so that we never have to deal with it again. Come on! It's good to be free. It's good to be clean. We should shout about it because, thank God, there was no way for me to get there without him. He did it. I couldn't do it. Thank God for Jesus. He brought about the most important change that's ever happened in my life, and he continues to bring about change in my life. I don't know about you, but I find that I still struggle with some things. I make up my mind I'm not going to eat chocolate cake, and don't you know, somebody sets a piece in front of me. Sin is sin. I don't care what form it comes in. Amen? And when temptation comes, if I yield, it's sin. If I know that I'm not supposed to do something, and it doesn't matter what it is. I use chocolate cake as an example because it's easy for me to relate to. I love chocolate cake. I can eat chocolate cake all day long. Some of you right now, your mouth has begun to water and your mind is filled with images. You know what I'm talking about. Amen. See, if I was talking about some kind of perversion, then you would immediately not be as attuned to listening to the message. But it's still the same thing. Sin is sin. Amen? Whatever our sin is, we need to deal with it because it's dealing with us already. And if we want to be free, we've got to bring it to Jesus. And he will cleanse us as we confess and give it over to him. But then something even better happens. Verse 8 says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?'" See, up until that point, he hadn't heard the voice of God. Doesn't mean God wasn't talking, but he couldn't hear it. His sin had blocked it. But once he got into proper alignment, then he could hear. And when he began to hear, it changed him. How many of you know that the Bible says that we are the bride of Christ? Amen? And that when he comes, he's coming for a bride that is spotless, purified, and cleansed. Amen? Washed with the water of the Word. Washed with the water of the Word. So when the Word comes, the Word changes us. And here's God speaking, and when he speaks, Isaiah is changed. And Isaiah's priorities change. Isaiah's drive changes. Isaiah's agenda changes. Everything about his life changes. From this point forward, Isaiah has the heart of God. He thinks like God, and he acts like God. Because he's been in the presence of God. Amen? You want to see Jesus? Seriously, because it's going to change you. You won't be comfortable doing things that you used to do. You won't be comfortable talking like you used to talk. You won't be comfortable with those things, not because guilt drives you, but because love drives you. And you look and you think, whatever it takes to please you, Father, that's what I want to do. I don't care what it is. Just whatever it takes. So, Tyler, do you have a good relationship with your grandfather? You have to nod a little louder. We can't hear you up here. Yeah. If you really, really, really have a good relationship with your grandfather, do you want to spend time with him? Yeah? And loving on him and being his favorite and all. Right, Lauren? I see we have a little disagreement going on here. He's really confident in the fact that he's the favorite, just so you know. Well, there's no argument there. She says she's cuter. I should have heard a loud amen there. I mean, come on. So when you hang out with your granddad, Tyler, is there any blessing that goes with that? Yeah? He does things for you? Yeah. Do you have to make him? No. There you go. See, that's the way this whole relationship thing works. It's not about forcing God to do anything. You can't make him do it. Matter of fact, that's witchcraft. It's about hanging out with him and finding out how much he loved you anyhow. I used to go out with my granddad. Now, I'm the oldest of seven. I was the only grandchild. There was no question about who was the favorite. I was the only grandchild. If you don't believe that, just ask any of my brothers and sisters. They'll tell you. And it was one of those deals where I would just spend time with my granddad because I wanted to. But man, the benefits that came with that were great. I mean, there was money that flowed to me. There were gifts that flowed to me. There was vacations that I got to go on. I mean, it was great. But it all flowed out of the relationship that I had with him. And it's our relationship with the Father that causes things to flow to us. We need to draw on the relationship, and we need to do what we do because of who he is for no other reason. I don't go after my relationship with God to get anything out of it, but I found out as I go after him, there's lots that comes with him. And I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. I am his favorite. And so are you. Amen? We come in and we see what it says. Matthew chapter 6, we saw it with the offering. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How many of you today would join me and say, I'm going after him. I'm going to go after God. With all that I've got, I'm going after God. Just put your hand way up in the air and wave at me. So I'm going to go after God. Okay? Psalm 17:15 says, as for me, I will seek your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Everybody say, that's not church. Come on. That's not church he's talking about. He's talking about the presence of God. I will dwell in the presence of God all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his house. You want to go after God? Let's go after God. Not just while we're here in these four walls. Let's go after God when we're in the car. Let's go after God when we're in the house. Let's go after God when we're doing things that are mundane and everyday things. Let's go after God with all that we are. And we'll find out he was chasing after us the whole time. Amen? How many of you know none of us found Jesus? He found us. We weren't looking for him when he found us. We think we lucked into Jesus. The truth was, he was looking for us the whole time. Now we can pay back and go after him with all of our heart. Those who seek me diligently will find me. Let's give him our all. Amen? Pray this together with me. Just reach out and take somebody by the hand. We're going to agree together. The Bible says, where any two are agreed as touching anything, it'll be done for them by my Father who's in heaven. Amen? So let's pray this out loud together. Father God, I'm not up to this. But through Jesus, we can do it together. I want to seek you with everything that's in me. I want to find you because I did it right. Take now this commitment. Bring it to full manifestation so that I can have all of you because you have all of me. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.